Blog Talk Radio.
Listen, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, no matter what part of the world you're in. Nevertheless, I want to thank you for being here today. We have a special, special, special program because we are going from the Virgin Islands to Nashville and around the world. Today we're going to have, well, let me put it this way. We're going to have authors, and we're going to stick with authors, but we're going to go to the whole world because you want to talk about Freddie Powers. Rest in peace, I have to say that, because he's passed on. But his wife and a co-musician will be here to share with us. I'm talking about the title. Today's title of today's show is Late Freddie Powers Through the Eyes and the Pens of Catherine Powers, Jake Brown, and other people. Wow, that's amazing. So I think we have Kathy in the house. Kathy, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm Catherine. Yes, I'm here. Thank you for having
me. That's right, yes. I took the liberty and called you Kathy. I'm sorry. My daughter has a name too.
That's okay.
Very good. Welcome aboard. Glad to have you here.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
Good. I assume that Jake would be coming too, but in the meanwhile, let's go ahead, because ladies first anyhow. So let's go ahead and have you introduce yourself to our audience, please.
Okay. As I said, I'm Catherine Powers, and I was married to widow, but
yes.
I was married to Freddie Powers,
yes.
Who was a songwriter and producer, as well as a comedian. And he had a very interesting life. And this book is all about his life, starting at his childhood, and called The Spree of 83, The Life and Times of Freddie Powers.
Uh-huh.
And he was a songwriter. He wrote many hit songs with Merle Haggard and George Jones. And he's had many people like Ray Charles and Big and Rich.
Hang on a minute.
I'm sorry?
We'll get into that more in depth in a minute. I just wanted to at least
Hello. To
know that you're here and who you are.
Can you guys hear me at all?
Yes, we can hear you good. We can hear you.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought I was on mute.
Yeah, Jake.
This is Catherine's co-author, Jake. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Glad you're here. Good timing. Perfect timing. Couldn't be better because we're just asking Catherine to tell us about herself. Now it's your turn. Jake, go right ahead and introduce yourself to our audience, please.
Oh, sure. Well, first, thank you for having us on. I've been a biographer for 20 years and 50 plus books. And I host a upcoming streaming television show called About the Authors TV, where I interview other authors about the craft, best-selling authors from around the world. I specialize in memoirs and anthologies that would include like Nashville Songwriter, where I met Freddie and Catherine. And then I've done books with Joe Satriani, Heart, Motorhead, the Tupac Shakur Estate, Big Smo, Teddy Riley, which isn't out yet, all over the map. But I have to say that the book that I proudly co-authored here with Freddie and Catherine, The Spree of 83, is by far one of my favorites for multiple reasons we can get into on the show.
That's good. I have one quick question to ask you. With all the work you do you ever have time to sleep?
Not much. No,
I ask him that myself all the time.
Yeah, and the thing that's important about that, as funny as it is in the sort of abstract, for your audience, especially talking about authors, is, if you want to carve out a career, especially in this age where the competition is so much more than it was. My first published book came out in 2001, and back then it was like you were guaranteed paperback runs. Nowadays, if you get a deal, oftentimes they're going to try to force an e-book out before. If that sells well, then you might get a print edition. There's lots of things that go into writing. It's always be writing, though, and that's why, I mean, even at 45 years old, you know, if I sleep 5 hours a night, you know, I'm lucky, and that's okay. The more books you write, the bigger a catalog you're going to build, the bigger a royalty stream you're going to have for yourself down the road. And more importantly, with a book like this one that Catherine and I and Freddie worked on, this took 9 years to get to where we are now, not because it didn't have previous iterations that were not quite what we wanted, but because, you know, the screenplay and the film that we're now getting ready to try to make again after this COVID nightmare, and everything that Freddie wanted for this project just took that long. So you have to have other income streams and royalty streams to finance able to work on something like that. Just like Freddie and Catherine with the music business, Freddie was such a prolific songwriter that there's a catalog that continues to support, you know, now Catherine, but supported them for years along with a lot of other generous people while he had Parkinson's and Catherine was keeping him on the road. It's really a remarkable story.
Yes, yes, yes. So we're getting into that right now. Before we go, let me just tell you something that I'm sure would be an eye-opener for you. You're listening to our audience in the Virgin Islands in the Caribbean, Virgin Islands, U.S. Virgin Islands. So what I like to say to my audience who come to share with us in our audience, when I have guests, what I like to say to them, I welcome them as honorary guests of the Virgin Islands. But to put it more succinctly, let me put it this way. Jake, you probably will get a kick out of this more so than Catherine. But now I am a true Virgin Islander. You are honorary virgin from the islands. All right? Now you are.
I'm glad to hear that. That's fun.
You're an honorary Floridian for Catherine and an honorary Nashvilleian for us. Welcome.
Well, wait a minute, Jake. I'm an Alabaman. I'm an Alabaman. I'm not a Floridian. I'm an Alabaman.
All right, on the coast there.
Yes. Well, all right, let's go on because I know you guys are limited for time. Especially,
hey, we got as much time as you have, man. We're happy to be here. We want to talk about Freddie as much as you want to talk about him.
Oh, well, that's good. Glad to know that. I'll set you up for 45 minutes, so we'll go there. I was hoping we could get a little longer, but I didn't want to impose it.
As long as you need. Yeah, we're here.
The door is always open. You're welcome to come back anytime, or if I have something come up, I might call you and get you to come back.
All right.
What do you want to know? What can we? Where do you want to start?
Let's go. Let's go with how did you and Catherine get together? How did you meet?
Well, I've been aware of Freddie's music since my childhood. My grandfather raised me listening to country music. We would go out to his boat on Lake Carlisle, which is a little sailboat, and we would listen to country music radio station from Missouri. Of course, they played All in the Game, which is Merle Haggard. Had so many great songs on it. And then years and years and years later, when I was well into my career, I had this national songwriter idea first hit me, which is that in country music, it's a little known, and it bears on Freddie's story, that many of the people who either co-write or write songs that become hits on country music radio are not actually written by the stars who perform them. In Freddie's case, it was unique because Merle Haggard was already a legendary star and songwriter in his own right, but Freddie had the songwriting gift that he'd had a lot of years, but hadn't really flexed the muscles of until him and Merle got together and became co-authors, co-writers of many number one hits. Catherine can tell you more about. And so it was just when I had the opportunity to interview Freddie, Catherine and him were coming up here on their bus, and it turned out he wound up in the VA hospital. He had a Parkinson's incident. Yeah, we didn't think he was coming out, and I met Catherine, and she handed me a well-worn, lovingly, half-typed, half-written manuscript, and we started work from there.
Oh, amazing. So, Catherine, how about you? What was your plan? How did you start off?
With Freddie?
With the book.
Freddie and I.
Okay.
With the book? Freddie had started, working on years. And probably in the 80s, he was writing his little memoir and stuff. And then when he was diagnosed with Parkinson's, it became something, you know, something we wanted to finish. So I started working with him on it and putting it together. And then, like Jake said, by chance, we had met Jake. And when Jake actually sat there in the hospital and just kind of ran through the manuscript that Freddie and I had put together, Jake immediately, you know, he was like, this is more than a book. It would be a great movie. And so the three of us just started working together on it until, like, you know, he said we finished it. But Freddie, by the grace of God, I actually found a lot of Freddie's work that he had started, you know, working on it back probably, like I said, in the 80s. So most of this book and all of the Freddie stories, he wrote himself. So Jake and I was just able to expound upon it. And with Jake being a great interviewer, he interviewed a lot of the people in the background, or you know, and this is what it is today. And I am so proud of it, and just amazed at the stories and the people that came through to help us to put this together.
Yeah, if I can add to that, you know, the part of the attraction to a book like this is Freddie's life. But, you know, I would be lying to you if I didn't say when I first was reading through some of the characters that populated Freddie's life. I mean, Outlaw Country, which is a well-known niche over here, you know, really John Rich, who's Big and Rich, co-songwriter, singer in the book, extensively talks about Freddie's influence, but says if there was a Mount Rushmore, which is where our four presidents are over there in South Dakota, it would be Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Merle Haggard, and Freddie Powers. And Freddie's influence behind the scenes on these gentlemen, whether it's Willie Nelson and Freddie, friendship started in the 50s and went all the way till Freddie passed, whether it was Merle Haggard, you know, whether it was John Rich and Big Kenny, whether it was all these different people. We interviewed over 40 or 50 people for the book in total, including 30 new interviews. Yeah, and so you really get, like Catherine said, you get it's a really populated with a really colorful cast of legendary country music stars and just really fun people, lots of players from all the different bands, Freddie's bands from the 60s, 70s, 80s, Merle's band, et cetera. You can't not like this book if you pick it up, if you're a country fan. It's awesome.
Definitely. I did some research, and I came up with a lot of stuff, more so than I was expecting. And I'll leave it up to you guys to share with us what's what. But I was so dumbfounded about what Freddie has been doing all this time. Amazing. So what would be the big part of the project that you've been working on? What was it that you were working on to tell the story? Kind of repeat myself.
You
want
to take that one or do you? Yes.
Either one. Doesn't matter.
The phone cut out for me. Can you repeat the question super quick? I'm sorry. The connection cut out. What was
asking you about the big part of the project. What was it like working with Freddie to tell his story?
It was incredible for me because Catherine had been with him 30 years, but I had the privilege of spending the last 3 years of his life with him on the bus. Music Row, and you know, we would sit there and we would talk every week, and he would tell stories and laugh and sing, and I would watch, you know, he had Parkinson's by then very severely. I'd watch Catherine, you know, do all of the medically related things that she had to do while we're still talking, and he'd be in the middle of a sentence and she'd have to, you know, turn him over or move him to the couch she used to pick him up onto her back and move him when he couldn't walk himself. So to watch those two interface and be such an amazing team made you want to be part of that team, you know?
This is a movie in the making. Yes, definitely. Definitely. Wow. Catherine, anything else you want to add to that?
I was just going to say that discovering a lot of things about Freddie that I really didn't know, and getting to find songs that he had written and recorded that I had never heard. And like you said, we were together over 30 years. So and getting to hear some of the people that, you know, Jake interviewed, that
yes.
and the stories that they had was, I still get choked up over it. It's amazing to me.
Because they go back all the way to the 1960s to Freddie's bands out in Reno and Vegas in the 70s, and when he was the king of Reno, you know, Freddie had a entertainment almost director kind of position, that he was, had the power of the pen. He was called Ambassador Goodwill. He hung out with mobsters and movie stars and country stars, and they partied all night, and they would go, you know, to brothels like Mona's and all kinds of crazy things in this book. And then in the 80s, when Freddie and Merle Haggard were living together on Lake Shasta, Merle had a whole resort out there. Him and Freddie had houseboats, and Catherine can tell you more about this, but it was like a rock star, you know, the booming 80s. Everyone thinks of heavy metal.
Yeah.
These guys had nothing on Merle and Freddie in terms of the parties and partying.
Wow.
Catherine can tell you more about it. It's hilarious. The plane, the great scene to start with. It may be good.
And Frank Sinatra calling and wanting him to come and perform with him at the White House, but instead Freddie and Merle told him they were too busy. They had their own thing going, and everybody wanted to be out there on those houseboats with them.
Okay. Yeah, Freddie built a plane, too. Freddie was a pilot, and Catherine has a funny story about what he did with his plane while they were up. I mean, can tell them that story if you don't mind, Catherine. It's hilarious.
Freddie actually built his own airplane. It was called the Natural High. It was a little ultralight, and he built it right there on the boat dock. So everybody was able to watch Freddie building this plane, and he taught himself how to fly. And once he had built the plane, then he decided to put it on pontoons. So he had to learn all over again about how to now land on water. So, but Freddie had two things that he would go flying around up there. One would be getting supplies with, as they would need them. But he would look for fish, or he would, and he'd report back to Merle, "I've just spotted a school of shad over here," which meant fishing, or he would say, "Merle, I just spotted a bunch of naked women over in Jones Valley Cove," and Merle would radio back, "I'd meet you at the Jones Valley Cove." Merle always called himself the radio tower on the ground while Freddie was flying. So
those guys are too something else. Well, I tell you, you're right there.
They were a mess. They had a lot of parties, but there was a lot of great songs written during all that time.
Yeah, they wrote all those number one songs while they were partying. These guys were prolific artists. Amazing. And they would go tour and play arenas. And, I mean,
It would be like somebody would say something, you know. It was like this one girl actually said, told Freddie that when they had got down to Nashville, she was going to chase him around the room, and it wasn't 10 or 15 minutes later, that was a hit song they wrote. So Merle and Freddie, they were a great team when it came to writing, but they were best of friends as well. They considered themselves more like brothers.
Freddie wrote a song for Ray Charles called Little Hotel Room. That's how esteemed within that 10-year period as a songwriter, how prolific and then esteemed he became after not writing songs really that he played for anyone for years. I mean, and then in the 90s, he moves back to Austin, Catherine and Freddie do after they get married. They live on Willie Nelson's golf course. Willie was parking his bus in their driveway for a while. They had a television show in their living room called Rodgers and Hammerhead. It was a songwriters interviewing songwriters television show. Catherine co-produced it. She could tell you about it. It was amazing.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah. I'd like to hear it.
Actually, we were nominated for a Cable Ace Award, and Freddie and his partner, Bill McDavid at the time, had decided that they would do more like a educational type songwriters program. So they would have all these top songwriters on there, from Merle and Willie to Floyd Tillman, and who actually it was the last show that Floyd Tillman ever did. And but they would, you know, talk about the songs and how the song was written, the structures of it, how they would come up with melodies, how to get a song produced. So they kind of kept it, you know, like a songwriter show, but an educational type songwriter show.
Yes. But very entertaining. Very entertaining.
Yes,
we have a soundtrack. I want to make sure we mention. We have a book soundtrack. It's one of the first official country book soundtracks for a memoir. And it's 52 songs. Yeah, two sides. You can actually hear different performances and interviews from the show on the soundtrack, along with material from Freddie's entire career, the 50s all the way up through 2013, 2014, but when he couldn't sing anymore. This guy, even when he had Parkinson's, he was still performing for sold-out crowds. He would play Willie Nelson's very famous 4th of July picnic and use his humor when he, you know, would talk about his Parkinson's. He had a cruise, the Parkinson's Foundation cruise. Catherine can elaborate on these things, but just as a setup, he also went to Europe and would play the Aqua Blues Festival, you know, 2008, 2010. So he was, even in his 70s and 80s, he was still performing from a wheelchair, shaking with Parkinson's.
Amazing.
It was remarkable.
Matter of fact, he even wrote a song in his later years. It was one of those where he would had been invited by Mark Sherrill, who wrote Old Red for Blake Shelton, and Mary Sarah, who was actually on The Voice and was a finalist.
Was Freddie?
They had invited him over, and Freddie had already he knew he was going to be a part of it. And Freddie had written a song in his head. And so when he got over there, he just started running off lines. And little Mary Sarah grabbed paper plates and a pen and just started writing it. So even when Freddie could barely talk and just barely whisper out words, he was still writing.
The music was always in him. The music always ran through him.
Yes. I can tell that.
Yeah, there would be times when he couldn't talk, but yet he could sing.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing.
Music really kept him alive for years and years and years beyond what people thought it would.
Before we go any further, let's come up with the title of the book, The Spree of 83, and there's a lot more to it than that, part one. And in part two, let's tell the audience where they can pick up a copy. So who wants to go with that?
You can order The Spree of Three, The Life and Times of Freddie Powers, directly from Freddie's website, freddiepowers.net. You can also get it in most stores, Books a Million, Barnes & Noble. You can order it off, you know, Amazon, the barnesandnoble.com site. You can get the ebook over a lot of different e-readers. There's also a YouTube channel, and there's also a website, thespreeof83book.com. You can see a lot of videos of Freddie playing throughout different eras of his career. From the 60s all the way up, 70s all the way up through the millennium.
And if you order it off the Freddie Powers, and if you order it off the freddiepowers.net, it will come to you autographed by Jake and I.
Yeah, and inscribed, Catherine can make out a personal birthday or Christmas, or if it's a great Christmas present, she can personally inscribe it to you or your loved one, etc. You know, the thing that's fun about Freddie, that another thing that we really want to make sure is really acknowledge is that's funny about him is quite literally how funny he was. This guy was a class A comedian. He actually had a dirty joke night where all the legendary country music stars, George Jones, Mel Tillis, all of them would come up to John Riches and tell jokes. And Freddie and Willie Nelson, in the book we talk about, they used to run up phone bills in the 90s, calling one another from Europe or wherever Willie was touring with whoever had the new joke. Catherine can elaborate on that. But he was such a funny, funny, funny man. He was a comedian. You can hear. Yeah.
Yes.
Two live albums, real quick. You can hear his comedy on that are also in release with the book. One of them is Live in Reno. The other is Live in Vegas 75. And you can just hear this guy at work. I mean, he won Reno's, you know, Artist of the Year, Top Talent of the Year award in 78, in part because of that comedy. I mean, he was so funny, just a funny, funny man.
Wow.
Yeah, he did the costumes, the facial expressions, and his delivery was always, even at his worst times, he would start to tell us a joke, and he would maybe, you know, freeze up is what they would call it from the Parkinson's. And about 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, he would finish that joke and the delivery was still so great. You just couldn't help from busting out laughing.
Did a pause out and then come back.
Some of it's pretty R-rated, so you have to read the book to hear it, because it's
okay.
But it's funny. He was an old school comedian. I mean, this guy was he did a Dixieland jazz act. What Catherine's talking about with the costumes is he would dress up in these zoot suits. And Freddie was a masterful. Well, let me explain just in the setup. You'll understand why this is important.
Sure.
Freddie was a banjo player in that act, but he was a master guitar player. And that's another thing in the book that we really want to make sure is solidified, is that, you know, Freddie is credited by Country Music Television, Rolling Stone, you name American Songwriter, that did an amazing article on the book just recently, as really, really responsible for bringing Dixieland jazz into country music's mainstream for the first time.
Yeah.
That goes back to Paul Buskirk and Willie Nelson in the 50s. But As a Dixieland jazz player, he could interweave the comedy with these amazing performances that were so crazy. The musicians that were in his bands had to be able to keep up. I mean, these guys were playing, you know, I mean, I don't even know the BPMs. It was crazy how fast they could play and then stop on a dime and Freddie would tell a joke. It's all there on the website to see and listen to on the albums. But you just really get an appreciation for his talents across the board.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I did a little research, and as I said, a little, because I didn't even know where all to go. But here you are, enlightening us. What I've done basically is I have a social media site called Pinterest, and I didn't see you on there, and now you are. Not you, but all three of you. Freddie and others. Freddie, Catherine, Jake, and others. So that gives some more exposure to audience we have around the world. Thanks for the internet.
Appreciate it. Yeah, you can also, you know, the other thing about Freddie and his associations is if you were to look up Willie Nelson and, like, you know, the Grammy winning Over the Rainbow album, or if you were just to go behind the scenes, Willie could have had anybody hanging out with him. Merle could have had anyone in the world that these guys wanted to spend all of their time with when they were hanging out locally at home or on the road in Merle's case. It was usually Freddie. Freddie was with – it wasn't – he was in the presence of all these amazing stars, but one of the most remarkable things about him that people remember him for – is the fact that he was always there in an influential kind of behind-the-scenes way, whether it was – and Catherine can elaborate on that, but he was always important. It wasn't just buddies. He was being – his talents were being utilized by these guys. You know what I mean? He was a, you know, really important part of the machine.
Wow.
I mean, Catherine, what are
some
examples of that, getting Merle off the bus when he didn't want to get off the bus?
Like doing TV shows, Freddie would be the creative director and then some albums he was producer. So Freddie was a lot in that background part of that he was saying producing and creating
new stars
TV
a chance.
Shows.
What about,
and,
like, giving...
Yes, and bringing up new stars and giving people, opening, you know, the doors for them and putting giving them a foot in and stuff. Freddie was very generous with his time, with up-and-comings. He was just
Mary Sarah, Pauline Reed, Lucas D'Souza.
There's so many of them. Yes.
I was just about to say that with so many people he's been involved with, is there any particular
Big and Rich,
favorite member?
Talk about his influence just on a more prominent level. Big and Rich, John Rich talks eloquently about Freddie. I mean, for Rattlesnake Annie, who's a legend in Europe and in Texas and country in general, talks elaborately about Freddie as a guitar player. Pauline Reese, who's a star in Texas, Mary Sarah, who, as Catherine mentioned, they did this album I'll let her tell you about in a second called The Bridges, but also then through help with that, you know, that helped get her elevated to the level where she wound up on this competition here in America called The Voice. That's a huge platform for stars. She played the Grand Ole Opry. Catherine, tell them about Bridges if you want. I mean, that was a remarkable project.
Well, it was the Bridges album. Freddie was the executive producer on, and when the idea came up with her doing a duet with Merle, of course, Freddie was like, we can do that. And the next thing we know, we've got her set up doing duets with Kent Wells, that was also a producer on the album, and Sharon Dennis, who was at the time her management. we were able to pull together 13 of your big stars from Merle and Willie and Ray Price and Dolly Parton, Tanny Tucker, Oak Ridge Boys, who also took a big interest in Mary Sarah, and put this album together. And she's doing duets with all these great big stars. Matter of fact, she just did a duet with David Frizzell, which has just been released, with Why God Made Oklahoma. And so, so it, you know, opening the doors for others was something that Freddie was, you know, very proud of being able to do.
Yeah. Tell them about the picking parties.
And through the picking parties, we would have picking parties that actually started in our home and there in Austin, and then ended up having the Freddie Powers Picking Pavilion there at the La Hacienda Resort in Austin, Texas, where we would have from up and coming to big stars that would come and play, and there would be producers or people out there looking for songs. Matter of fact, Tanya Tucker even said that going to a Freddie Powers picking party, you could pretty much get a full album by all the different songwriters that played there.
Yeah, and just to add background to that, the picking tradition in Texas especially is legendary. It goes way back in the decades. And basically what it means, for anyone who doesn't know what the shorthand of picking, it's when a bunch of very accomplished guitar players sit around in a circle together, as Willie Nelson and Freddie used to do, or Merle, for 15, 16 hours at a time. And then in the 90s, Coach Darryl Royal, the legendary Texas football coach, started hosting, or had been hosting, excuse me, since the 70s, but 80s and 90s, these golf tournaments with songwriters, astronauts, actors, movie stars, Matthew McConaughey, Luke Wilson, you name them, Owen Wilson. They would all come and play golf, and then at night sit around for hours and listen to people like Freddie and Willie and anyone else who was there, unknown songwriters, all play their songs, and everyone had to be quiet. It was called the Coach Royal Rules. So when Catherine and Freddie started their picking parties, I'll let her pick this up. Tell them the names, if you would, and tell them about the rules, because they're so important to why Freddie had such respect from songwriters.
Well, they did. They call them the Coach Darryl Royal Rules, and which I would post those up on the doors, so when people would come in, they would know that when an artist was performing, it was time for them to zip it up. We would call it red light, which means stop talking. And I'm pretty well known that at the picket parties that if you start talking and I can't get you to shut up, I'll show you where the door is. So, but there would be, you know, like we said, there would be people sitting out in the audience that next thing you know, somebody would get a song picked up to have recorded, or somebody would get a tour scheduled out of it over in Europe or whatever. So there was a lot of great things that come out of those picking parties and still do today.
Yeah, and one of them was called the Freddie Powers South by Southwest picking party. The other one, Catherine can tell you.
It's the Black Eyed Peas.
I totally screw it up.
It's the Black Eyed Peas and Cabbage picket party on January the 1st on New Year's Day. And people will bring their Black Eyed Peas and cabbage, and we do like a tasting and listen to great music. We put on about 15 to 20 acts in a day.
Wow, amazing, amazing. I need to go there then.
You're welcome.
They're a lot of fun.
Yes. I was in San Antonio a couple of years ago. It was my first time to get there as a civilian. I knew it as a Air Force enlisted person. I didn't get a chance to go out. But when I did get a chance now a couple of years later, I didn't realize there's so much going on in San Antonio that I wish I could get back there. I wish I could get back there. Yes.
San Antonio and Austin, it's all music, yes.
I know that, yes. Before we go any further, let's remind our audience where they can pick up their books.
Spree of 83, The Life and Times of Freddie Powers. You can get the book soundtracks on Spotify, iTunes, etc. You can get the book at Barnes & Noble. You can get it at barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com, at Freddie's website, freddiepowers.net, and Catherine can tell you the personalization of that.
Okay. Go ahead, Catherine.
Well, no, like we said, that if you order it from the freddiepowers.net, it will come personally autographed to you by Jake and I both. So, and if you wanted to get it as, like you said, as a gift for someone, I can autograph it to whoever you're buying it for.
Fantastic. All right. Well, let's turn over a little bit to our new novice, I guess we could put it, novice authors. We cater to authors of all levels, similar to what Freddie was doing with his musicians. What kind of suggestions or advice would you want to pass on to aspiring authors who might be listening to us now?
It's funny you mention that because I'm actually...
Either one.
Yeah, well, no, just because that's part of the point of the show about the Authors TV that's coming up.
I
interview all these authors and ask them that, and this is what I can tell you, and then Catherine can tell you from her lens. Yeah, just in terms of, I mean, there's three things
still
that's
on
important
the
if you want to be. Yeah, can you hear us?
Hello?
I can hear you. Can you hear me, Catherine?
Hello?
I hear you.
Yeah,
but you're back.
We have another 15, 20 minutes or so to go.
All right. Let me know when you want advice. I'll start over.
Sure.
From the advice question.
Yes. Go right ahead.
Okay.
Yes. Go right ahead. Tell us what could.
Yeah. So to answer that question again, to answer that question so you can edit properly, to answer that question, I want to first point to something Freddie always was a master at, and that's marketing. You can't competitively write in today's book climate with as many young authors as there are and as many digital vehicles like Amazon Publishing and other, not what you quite would call self-publishing platforms anymore. You have to think while you're writing about who's your audience, who you want to be reading the book, how you're going to reach them. You have to be in the process of setting up social media, your YouTube channel, your Twitter, whether you like it or not, your Facebook, and the expectation of having readers. And then once you get some readers, you have to engage them and then grow that fan base organically by word of mouth. Hire a publicist, which costs money. Do it. Because if you don't, I often tell people, even if you're a best-selling author, your case, your book is like a social worker with 30 cases on their desk. So publicist can only give you – you have to hire your own team. The other thing that's really important before you even get to all that is an agent. You have to have an agent. If you don't have an agent, chances are you're going to get taken advantage of if you do get a publishing contract. Freddie always talked about the importance within business of making sure that music, you understand music as a business, as much fun as it is to survive 50 years in the career like he did. He was always thinking two or three steps ahead, and that's how authors need to think. The second and third pieces of advice that I would wrap up with on that is always be writing. Freddie was always writing songs. He was always playing guitar. He was always networking. He was always introducing new stars, as Catherine talked about, which helped keep him relevant to new generations. that, so always be writing. No matter what kind of book, if you're a young author and you can write, but you really can't find anything yet, ghostwrite. Go on Craigslist. Everyone's looking to do a ghostwriting project. It's a great way, or be a transcriptionist, be an assistant to an author, anywhere, work for free in internships, do workshops. There's also this thing called writing critique groups. You can get together with other writers of a similar genre, your mystery writer, romance writer, whatever, and they can critique one another's books week to week, chapter to chapter, and that helps you write the actual thing. And the last thing, to quote Freddie again, he was always, always, and Catherine can attest to this, somebody who was in the networking middle of it. The guy, even when he had Parkinson's, they always kept the bus on the road, whether it was Willie Nelson helping pay off, you know, bus bills from when it would break down, or Big and Rich, or whether it was, Catherine can elaborate on this, but it was always, always be in motion, always be going, always keep yourself out there, always keep your name out there. So writers like to have this romantic notion that they need, because it's such a solitary profession, that, well, you're alone writing it, then you're going to be alone in its release. And it's sort of opposite. You have to go out and almost take on maybe a more social personality than you like, because you're selling your book. You have to sell it so that people want to buy it. It's that simple.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Freddie would say, if you mind, that as a songwriter, he would always say, also, be your own judge. Because there was a time when he had, when he wrote Always Get Lucky With You, where one of his band members had said that they, you know, he called it to play it, and the guy said, oh, Freddie, I don't like that song. And so Freddie, thinking that it was a bad song, he ditched it. Well, lo and behold, that did turn out to be a number one. So Freddie always said, be your own judge. If you like it and you never get tired of playing it, it's probably a good song. And a number one, you can't hold it back. It will bust itself out.
Wow, good point. Good point, folks. Thank you very much, for both of you. Both of you, great. Fantastic. Well, we're getting short on time. We have about 3 minutes going on. I'd like to ask you basically about the products you have on the works. I heard you say something about the movie coming up. Tell us about it, please.
That's in the work. We've got a screenplay done. We've already had conversations with some actors. Again, COVID really upended that, because in a way that really might be better in a way, because we're just more educated now and continuing to, and we're, you know, but we're with our third set of producers right now that we're talking to. So there's never been an issue of interest in this. It's a mess, but you know what, of all the authors I talked to too, that have books get made into film, it takes years. It's not, that's why when I emphasize this 9-year journey, it'll be 10 years next year. And probably by the time the film's done, 12 or so, you know, so it's like, we're just committed to Freddie. We're committed to keeping his dream alive of his full legacy being recognized, and his contributions to country music and beyond, and just keeping his name out there. And Catherine can end on her own thoughts, I would guess, on that same subject. I mean,
right. You just basically said it all for me, so I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, if Catherine's been the driving force of this, she was the driving force of keeping Freddie on the road and in front of audiences and keeping his name as big as she did when he had Parkinson's. And now we're happy to be the torchbearers. You know, we're happy to be helping, and not just us, but all of the fans of his that continue to support him. I mean, that's really who it's about in the end. We want them to be happy.
We're down to our last minute. I want to say to you guys, let's wrap things up with saying, I want to say to you, first of all, thank you, thank you, thank you for taking time to be with us. And you have enlightened me in so many ways, I'm willing to help you any which way. I put you on Pinterest, and I'll get back in touch with you. Anything else going on, let me know. I'll be more than happy to support you, particularly Freddie, in Freddie's behalf, and Catherine's behalf, in your behalf too, Jake. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. We just appreciate you supporting Freddie, you know?
Yes, thank you so much. It's a dream for all of us. And so, yes, be sure to check out the book and the soundtrack, and that is at the spreeof83book.com. So
FreddiePowers.net, and you can also go to YouTube channel, Spree of 83 book, and you'll be wildly entertained by any way you listen, read, and that's the great part. You can read along, listen along while you read this book. It's like a 3D experience. It's really fun.
Well, folks, thank
you
very much.
You can hear Freddie singing while you're reading, yeah, playing and everything.
Okay, very
thank
good.
Thank
you. Thank you, Jay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Catherine. I appreciate it. Very good.
All right.
Yeah, those
thank you.
Well, thank
you.
Thank you again. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.